Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 75 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
And I'm Tanner Boyd.
You know, the Bible says a marriage, it was formed. The union was formed by God Himself to be between one man and one woman. And I'm going to stand on that belief.
Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis has decided to no longer issue marriage licenses in light of the Supreme Court's decision to legalize same-sex marriage nationwide.
The Fayette County Board of Education has found a new superintendent.
And the Moorhead Tourism Commission is getting closer to building a new recreation park.
In sports, the Reds are at home tonight against the Minnesota Twins.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Tornado watch tonight, along with 50% chance of rain and lows around 65. A complete forecast is coming up, but first, this news.
Marriage licenses are no longer available in Rowan County. In the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court's Friday decision to legalize gay marriage in all 50 states, Governor Beshear ordered clerks in all of Kentucky's 120 counties to begin issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples. However, Rowan Clerk Kim Davis says because of her Christian convictions, she can't do that. And in response, she's decided her office will no longer sell those licenses to either gay or straight couples in order not to be discriminatory.
There are other counties that are around that will gladly issue those licenses. You know, maybe those clerks don't hold deep moral convictions like, you know, what I have and other clerks have, but there are people out there that will issue them. But as for Rowan County, we will not be issuing marriage licenses at all.
Davis admits there could be some backlash from her decision, but she feels it's important to stand up for what she believes in.
Rowan County's clerk is not the only one in the Commonwealth to halt the issue of marriage licenses. The Herald Leader reports Chris Joby, the Lawrence County clerk, has also gotten out of the marriage license business for the time being. He cites the suddenness of the change and says his office needs time to explore their options. Joby is the president of the Kentucky County Clerks Association. Boone County Clerk Kenny Brown had publicly supported the state's same-sex marriage ban in the past and did not issue any licenses on Friday. Today, however, the office was issuing licenses to all applicants.
They ask for equal dignity in the eyes of the law. The Constitution grants them that right. Those were the words penned by Justice Anthony Kennedy of the Supreme Court, and at least one social conservative in Kentucky is not happy with that. Martin Cothran is the senior policy analyst for the Family Foundation of Kentucky, which vigorously opposed same-sex marriage. He says just last year, Kennedy wrote that states should have the right to decide the issue of same-sex marriage for themselves. Needless to say, Cothran would have preferred the court rule turned out differently.
Well, we think this is the Supreme Court gone rogue from the Constitution. I think it's a betrayal of the American people. I think the Founding Fathers are rolling over in their graves, you know, for judges to say that this is what they meant by the words of the Constitution. We have to decide whether this is our Waterloo or whether it's a remember the Alamo moment.
Cothran believes that Friday's decision may act as a rallying point in much the same way the Roe versus Wade decision has spurred decades of anti-abortion activism.
Statewide advocates for marriage equality have nothing but praise for Friday's Supreme Court decision, which struck down Kentucky's 2004 constitutional referendum outlawing same-sex marriage. Michael Aldridge is the executive director of the ACLU of Kentucky.
But just personally, I am overwhelmed with joy. I just want to go find my husband and hold him tight. And I'm just so pleased that our relationship is recognized just as valid as everyone else's. Thank you all.
He declares the decision a huge policy victory for the LGBT rights movement, something he has been working on for about 20 years.
Lexington City crews have cleaned up a statue of a Confederate leader that had been spray-painted with the phrase Black Lives Matter. According to WKYT, the John Hunt Morgan statue at the old courthouse on Main Street was sprayed with black paint across the Confederate general's name. It happened sometime before Friday morning. Lexington Mayor Jim Gray says he doesn't condone the vandalism, but understands that the statue brings out strong feelings. He says it's time for the city to reconsider its Confederate memorials.
The Fayette County Board of Education has unanimously selected its new superintendent. 43-year-old Emmanuel Manny Kalk has been the superintendent of the Portland Public Schools, Maine's largest school district, since 2012. Fayette School Board Chair John Price tells WKYT that of the two candidates considered, Calk was the best fit.
He's very realistic. You know, he says that it's going to take us time, but he talks about the way we get there. He has 3 degrees. He's an attorney. He will finish his PhD doctorate in education in December. And at points in his lifetime in the past, he was homeless. He grew up in a housing project. So I think his life is a reflection of the value of education.
Calk hopes to begin his new job as soon as possible, and his starting salary will be $240,000.
The Fleming County School Board has added 2 new positions for the district. MSPR's Braxton Howard reports.
The Ledger Independent is reporting that the Fleming Board approved the creation of 2 new intervention instructor positions in a special meeting late last week. Superintendent Brian Cressman says the purpose of the position will be to provide direct intervention services to students performing below grade level. Students going into their freshman year will be evaluated by their 8th grade test scores. If any students are found to be performing below their grade level, they will be assigned to work with instructors during one of their elective periods in order to become college and career ready, with a high focus on the ACT scores. The instructors will be paid through federal, state, and general fund monies. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
The city of Vanceburg has applied for a grant from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Mayor Matt Ginn says if approved for the cash, the town would use the money to help its fire department.
It's a turnout gear for a fire department for 12 firefighters. I think it came in at 31-2. It's hats, jackets, pants, boots, and gloves.
Ginn says the fire department's current gear is not in terrible shape, but really should be replaced. Vanceburg had until July 10th to apply for the Homeland Security grant. However, Ginn admits he's not sure when the city will find out if it will get the money.
The city of Ashland passed the final reading of its budget that will go into effect July 1st at its regular meeting on Thursday. MSPR's Joshua Grandison has more.
According to the Ashland Independent, Commissioner Larry Brown was the only dissenting vote for the city's budget. The commission also unanimously voted to lend support to a traffic light being installed along Greenup Avenue and 18th Street near Don Hall Supercenter. In other business, City Manager Ben Bitter updated the commission on progress toward acquiring recovery money from FEMA for this past winter's rash of severe weather. He says the agency is still processing reimbursement requests at a higher level, but is hopeful the city will receive money soon. Bitter says the money will be needed to replenish city coffers that were drained by snow removal, salt, overtime hours, pumping water, and water loss during waterline breaks. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Joshua Grandison reporting.
The Boyd County Fiscal Court's 2013 audit found a weakness in the public bidding process for its home incarceration program. According to the Ashland Independent, the auditors could find no evidence of a public bidding process to select an entity to approve the county's home incarceration program that year. At the time of the audit, the county had been contracted with Ashland-based BWH Security to handle those who are accepted into the program that confines prisoners to their homes instead of placing them in jail. The services use GPS systems to monitor the whereabouts of those in the program through ankle bracelets and other means. The audit also noted problems with the invoices BWH sent the county from the home incarceration program.
The long-standing dream of building a recreation park at the site of Morehead State University's Sunnybrook Golf Course on U.S. 60 East appears close to finally becoming a reality. The Morehead Tourism Commission plans to give a Lexington architectural firm over $18,000 to revamp the design for the facility and is interested in bonding up to $1.5 million for the park's construction. Chairman Keith Kappas says helping to build the new park is right on track with the commission's main goal.
Anything that would go out there that would bring more visitors to Morehead, that's the purpose, of course, of the Tourism Commission, to enhance tourism. And in fact, we believe supporting this project, this new project, will be an even better way to bring folks.
The new park would include several baseball, softball, and multi-purpose fields, a walking trail, and a dog park. Kappas hopes that its construction can happen by next spring.
A rare storm system moved through the area on Friday night and disrupted power services for close to 1,000 Kentuckians. WSAZ reports a derecho crossed southern Ohio, eastern Kentucky, and central West Virginia on Friday evening, pummeling a zone from north suburban Cincinnati all the way to the West Virginia-Virginia border. A derecho is a thunderstorm squall line that lasts for hours, moves swiftly, and affects many along its path with high winds. Severe thunderstorm warnings and even a few tornado alerts were common on the derecho's journey through the Buckeye and Mountain states. In Kentucky, 308 residents of Boyd County found themselves temporarily without power this weekend, as well as 639 citizens of Pike County.
3 years after a tornado destroyed it, the congregation of a Magoffin County church now has a new place to worship. The March 2012 tornado left St. Luke's Catholic Church in ruins. Since then, the congregation has held services in tents and other temporary facilities on the property. On Sunday morning, a new permanent home for St. Luke's was dedicated and consecrated. Father Bob Dameron tells WIMT about the recovery process.
We ask God to bless this house in which the church would gather, to bless it that, again, with love, compassion, and mercy, and that we will truly be a beacon of light within our community to share God's love and God's hope.
The tornado also destroyed the church's priest house, but the congregation also has plans to rebuild that.
The Lewis County Sheriff's Office has arrested and charged a man they say sexually abused a child under the age of 12. According to WSAZ, 55-year-old Gary Johnson of Vanceburg was arrested after deputies say they received a tip about the alleged abuse from a resident. After an investigation, authorities determined there was enough probable cause to make an arrest. Johnson is charged with sexual abuse of a victim under 12 years of age. He's being housed at the Lewis County Detention Center on a $100,000 bond.
A South Central Kentucky man has pleaded not guilty to murder and other charges in the death of his girlfriend's 2-year-old daughter. Suzanne Duvall reports.
Anthony Barber was indicted Friday on charges of murder, tampering with physical evidence, and abuse of a corpse. He was already being held in the Barron County Jail on other charges. The body of Lainey Wallace was found inside a well in Barron County on May 25th, a week after she disappeared. Barber earlier pleaded not guilty to a kidnapping charge in another case.
That was KNN's Suzanne Duvall.
The amount of Kentucky hospitalizations for drug-dependent newborns has continued to skyrocket. The Courier-Journal reports that the number of hospitalizations for drug-dependent newborns in the state rose 48% last year compared to 2013. Those 1,409 hospitalizations last year represent a 50-fold increase from just 28 hospitalizations in 2000. According to a recent study in the New England Journal of Medicine, admissions of drug-dependent babies to the U.S. hospitals nearly quadrupled from 2004 through 2013. Dr. Viral Tulia, a Texas doctor and lead author of the journal article, says the surge is a result of recent nationwide opioid abuse crisis. Researchers say more pregnant women are being prescribed painkillers, which both raises the risk of having drug-dependent babies and can sometimes lead to abuse and addiction.
A new adventure activity will open at Carter Cave State Resort Park this week in an effort to expand the options for rock climbers in the Commonwealth. Spokesman Coy Ainslie says climbing anchors have been placed in a cliff along the Three Bridges Trail for rappelling and rock climbing. He says the activity is free and self-guided, but does require a permit for safety.
We're not currently leading any type of activities in this area for inexperienced guests. So the area is designated for folks that have experience in both rappelling and rock climbing and also obtain their own gear for this use. And then they'll also get a copy of the rules and regulations for the area.
Ainslie says the climbing area at Carter Caves will be opened on Thursday, July 2nd at 2 p.m.
And finally this afternoon, thousands packed Robert F. Stevens Courthouse Plaza on Saturday for the annual Lexington Pride Festival. One day after a historic U.S. Supreme Court ruling made the same-sex marriage legal in Kentucky and across the county, Ponda Moody and Kim Spencer drove to Lexington from Mount Sterling, as they normally do, to attend the festival, but this year they stopped in Winchester on the way to pick up their marriage license. They said they've been together for 15 years and called it a historic day. Chad Hundley, the festival's chairman, said organizers expected to have about 20,000 people attend the day-long event. But given the Supreme Court's ruling, he expected the festival could attract as many as 24,000 people. Lexington Mayor Jim Gray kicked off the festival by proclaiming it a historic Pride Day in Lexington. And taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moorhead State Public Radio listening areas, including Nicholas, Bath, and Lewis counties, there's a tornado watch in effect until 9 p.m. this evening. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Some thunderstorms may produce damaging winds and large hail in the evening. Apache Valley fog near dawn, lows around 65. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms, highs around 78. And Wednesday, partly sunny, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs around 80 degrees. Currently in Ashland, it's 74 degrees, 77 degrees in Flemingsburg, 77 in Inez, 75 in Lexington, 77 in Winchester, and in Moorhead, it is currently 75 degrees.
The time is 4:46. You're listening to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Arlo Barnett here with Tanner Boyd, and we're glad you're with us on this Monday evening. On our feature segment this afternoon, we have commentary from Governor Steve Beshear. While some areas of the state are still grappling with poor economic numbers, he points out that overall, the most states' economy has been successful in recovering from the Great Recession.
If you've turned on the TV or picked up a newspaper, chances are you've heard some positive news about Kentucky's economy. For the past several months, I've been touring the state and celebrating with many of our hardworking communities Kentucky's historic Governor's Cup win for most economic development projects per capita. These celebrations have created a sense of excitement, pride, and accomplishment, and for good reason. As a Commonwealth, we've worked tirelessly to not only pick ourselves up from the Great Recession, but to achieve some of the best economic levels in our history. In fact, we've had more proof of our success. Area Development Magazine, a leading economic development trade publication, has recognized Kentucky with a Silver Shovel Award, acknowledging the Commonwealth as one of the most successful states in creating jobs and securing investments. The Silver Shovel is awarded to only a small handful of states each year. It's a symbol of business creation, job growth, and community development. While we're pleased to receive this recognition, our work really speaks for itself. In May alone, 17 companies announced location or expansion projects in our state. These projects are expected to create almost 1,000 new jobs and $650 million in new investments. Business and job creation are becoming a powerful trend in Kentucky, one that's still gaining momentum. And while we're pleased with this significant growth, we must strive to create more opportunities so that every Kentuckian can achieve prosperity. Let's keep up the good work. This is Governor Steve Beshear.
The time is 4:48. You're still tuned to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. Jared Wesley has been keeping an eye on your sports news, and he's up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Carter County Shrine Club and Grayson Tourism, hosting the 25th Annual Shriners Bluegrass Festival, July 16th through 18th in Olive Hill, Kentucky. 3 days of bluegrass music with Larry Sparks, Ronnie Reno and Reno Tradition, Ralph Stanley II, Tommy Webb, Dale Ann Bradley, Hammertown, Hazel Holler Band, and more. Camping, food vendors, and cover tent at stage area. Tickets and more information at 606-286-4611 and online at ShrinersBluegrassFestival.com.
Baseball at Great American Ballpark tonight. Good evening, reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Jared Wesley. The Cincinnati Reds return for a 7-10 interleague game against Minnesota. Manager Brian Price and his Reds are likely glad to be back at Great American Ballpark, especially when you consider their 14-26 record away from the Queen City, which includes 3 weekend losses in New York against the Mets.
The thing that stands out is we have to play better on the road. You know, we came in here, and granted, we lose two to one games, one of them in 13 innings to start off our day-to-day, and that affected how we were able to lay out our bullpen. But, you know, we need to play better on the road.
The 34-40 Reds will send Mike Leake to the mound tonight. The Twins will go with Mike Pelfrey. Both hurlers have 5-4 records this season. The Lexington Legends are in Savannah tonight to make up the game that was suspended last night. At 5:35, it will be Pedro Fernandez on the hill for the Legends. At 4-0, the 6-foot right-hander is looking to improve on his 3.04 ERA against the Sand Nats. Lexington is currently 2-0 on the season's second half. They stand alone in first place in the South Atlantic League. Morehead State baseball coach Mike McGuire says having a banner in 2015 is a major plus for his team moving forward. According to McGuire, MSU's visit to this year's NCAA tournament and numerous conference and national awards that his players collected in the aftermath of it have helped his program in a couple of ways.
One, just the notoriety and attention. More people are aware of Morehead State baseball and our success. That's a big deal. Maybe we're getting in some doors that we couldn't before because now they know, think about Morehead State and they think about a program that's certainly on the rise and has had a lot of success in the last year and a half.
In winning the OVC's tournament title, the MSU baseball team earned a school record 38 victories. Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari spoke this morning on the SEC Summer Basketball Teleconference. Coach Cal locked in another top-tier recruiting class this summer, most notably signing guard Jamal Murray last week. He says, though, the class could have been even stronger.
Well, it's not been what everybody thinks. We don't get everybody we're trying to get, and there are a lot of kids that didn't come. As a matter of fact, we missed on a bunch of kids this year.
Calipari says he is excited about the upcoming season and notes that they can be crazy good. Morehead State basketball coach Sean Wood says his 2015-2016 Eagles will be solid on the inside and outside. Woods says not only are his players talented, but they also have great character, which he says was one of his key recruiting goals when he signed them.
You can go get some talented guys that have some other type of issues and baggage, and they're good enough to get you beat. You know, they'll win some games for you, but they, for some odd reason, when it gets hot, if things start going, a little bad, those guys that are going to show their true character and they'll wear out on you.
Woods players have all returned to campus to take classes, play pickup games, and work out on their own. University of Wisconsin head basketball coach Bo Ryan will retire after next season. The 67-year-old Ryan made the announcement earlier today and says that he hopes longtime assistant Greg Gard will take his place. ESPN college basketball insider Jeff Goodman says that the decision was not health-related.
This was surprising in the sense that it started this morning with some of the speculation and rumors out there, and I just got off the phone with a Wisconsin player, and he said it's not due to health reasons. So that's good news for the 67-year-old Ryan, who announced that he will be stepping down after this current season.
Ryan led the Badgers to the Final Four last season, where they lost to Duke in the title game. An Ashland Blazer football star has made his college choice. MSPR's Chuck Mraz reports.
According to the Ashland Independent, 5'9", 185-pound running back Quinton Baker is verbally committed to Marshall University and will sign with the Thundering Herd next February. Baker did very well at the Best of the Midwest Combine in Indianapolis, running a scorching 4.29 in the 40-yard dash and winning Most Valuable Player honors. During his career with the Tomcats, Baker has rushed for 4,258 yards and 53 touchdowns. He backed out of a commitment to Kentucky last fall. For MSPR Sports, I'm Chuck Mraz.
Rowan County girls soccer coach Randy Wallace is looking forward to getting his players back on the practice field when the KHSAA's dead period ends next week. Wallace believes his team has the talent to win this year's 16th region championship.
Based on what everyone in our region lost and what they've got coming back, we're probably as good, if not better, than anybody else in the region. So I think we have an excellent chance of achieving that goal if we follow through with what we have.
The Lady Vikings ended last season at 15-7-1. They opened the 2015 season on August the 17th at home against Greenup County. In our final sports story tonight, it was a pretty straightforward first day at Wimbledon. AP correspondent Graham Agars reports.
The sun was shining and the big names were winning on a near-perfect start to Wimbledon, with the two number one seeds, Novak Djokovic and Serena Williams, enjoying the conditions as much as anybody, both posting straight set wins to the second round. Former champions Maria Sharapova and Venus Williams both had bright starts, and the newly crowned French Open men's champion Stan Wawrinka shook off the Paris dust with a solid opening win on the grass. Graham Agars, London.
That will do it for sports tonight. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jared Wesley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Eagle Volleyball will hold a JV and varsity team camp July 11th through the 13th for teams of 8 to 12 players. Skill sessions and tournaments included. More information from the Eagle Volleyball office at 783-9514 and online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks plunged nearly 2% with the Dow and S&P wiping out gains for the year on escalating tensions between Greece and its creditors. Stocks extended losses in late afternoon trade as Greece Prime Minister Tsipras said the stronger the rejection of the creditor deal, the stronger the Greek hand in the talks, and he added that the aim for the referendum is to bring continuation of negotiations with lenders. And S&P downgraded Greece, S&P downgraded Greece's credit rating today, while saying that the probability of Greece exiting the Eurozone is now about 50%. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a nasty loss of 350.33 at 17,596.35. The S&P 500 was down 43.85 at 2,057.64, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 122.04 at 4,958.47. New York Stock Exchange breadth was overwhelmingly negative, as there were 14 losing stocks for every one winning stock on the big board. Concerns over Greece hit global markets hard, with stocks in France and Germany closing more than 3% lower. Asian stocks fell overnight, with Japan's Nikkei off 2.9%. Treasury yields were lower today, with bond prices up, as the 10-year yield finished near 2.35%, this from Friday's close of 2.48%, while the 2-year yield was 0.64% in morning trade, and the German 10-year bond was 0.8%, as that rate was also down sharply from Friday's close as well. Crude oil futures were $1.30 lower at $58.33 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Gold was up $5.80 to finish at $1,179 an ounce. And in corporate news, coal stocks CONSOL Energy and Peabody surged on a U.S. Supreme Court ruling against the Obama administration that said it failed to consider costs when deciding to regulate mercury pollution from power plants. And Gannett was in the news as the company split in two effective today. The existing parent company is renamed Tegna and will own 46 broadcast stations, as well as the Cars.com website. And the newspaper operation, which includes USA Today, was spun out into a new company that will carry the Gannett name and ticker symbol. And also, J.B. Hunt Transport Services will join the S&P 500 this week, replacing Integrys. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated down 333 at 122.22, CSX down $1.18 at 32.49, AEP down 12 cents at 52.79, AK Steel down a quarter at 392, Marathon Petroleum down $1.10 at 50.87, and Community Trust Bank was down 69 cents at 34.74. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad, operated by the Kentucky Innovation Network at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad is a local and state-supported business incubator for new or startup businesses with consulting services, office spaces, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad can help grow companies, encourage business partnerships, and create jobs. More information at 606-783-9536.
And taking another look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, there's a tornado watch in effect until 9 this evening. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Some thunderstorms may produce damaging winds and large hail in the evening. Patchy Valley fog near dawn, lows around 65 degrees. Currently in Ashland, it's 74, 77 in Flemingsburg, 77 in Inez, 75 in Lexington, 77 in Winchester, and in Moorhead, it is currently 75 degrees.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff members Chuck Moraz, Joshua Grandison, Jared Wesley, Jordan Simonson, and Braxton Howard. From the Kentucky News Network, Suzanne Duvall, and with our feature segment, Governor Steve Beshear. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Tanner Boyd and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Arlo Barnett for Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.